Cinematography.
Yep.
Nominees: The Irishman, Joker, yep. The Lighthouse, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What do you got?
So prior to my 1917 mix-up, I had The Lighthouse.
I have The Lighthouse as well.
Yeah.
I could give it to 1917. I would have no problem with that. I mean, it's not easy to do one take.
It's
movies.
Not, and it's despite the issues with the story, like it's very beautifully done.
It is beautifully shot.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with Lighthouse, and I'm gonna tell you why, because it's the only thing it's nominated for, and I think it's a brilliant film.
And A24 should not be snubbed like that.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Jesus Christ. More, I have so much to say still. But,
yeah. I guarantee we're not the first.
I think the box ratio is pretty interesting too, and it works, and it's black and white, and I love black and white. So, yeah, go in Lighthouse.
Jaron Blanch. That's the guy. This is
Jaron Blanch.
Jaron Blanch.
You shut up. You get feeling euphoric over there.
I am actually to give Kin the benefit of the doubt. It is it has calmed me down.
You were pretty irate. Before
I was
we started
exceptionally
shooting
pissed, and I'm probably going to be pissed tonight as well.
No, let's let it go.
No,
as long as we,
I'm going to hold on to this entire
night. As long as
we
get the close-ups for next week's episode.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to dedicate a lot of my time to that, and unfortunately, I dedicated a lot of my time today on that, and it didn't work.
Well, you know, the road to perfection is not an easy one.
Yeah, that's
okay. Let's move forward. Because basically our entire episode is going to be
this. Yeah, it's going to be a wash, I feel like.
Supporting actress.
Supporting actress. Fuck.
Nominees are?
Hold on.
I got it.
I have. Here we go.
Kathy Bates and Richard Jewell.
Didn't see it.
Laura Dern and Marriage Story.
Not good.
Not good is how you said.
Not good. I don't know why the fuck she got nominated. It was hardly a role.
I would say that it wasn't Laura Dern's never bad, but it certainly is not an Oscar worthy performance. It's pretty straightforward.
And why wouldn't is Saoirse on? Yeah, so okay, so Saoirse's on for little the main actress, but yeah. I don't agree with. She should be in a supporting role.
Okay, well no, she's the lead in that film though.
Is Woman. She though?
Yeah, of course she is.
I guess.
Who else would be the lead?
Timothy Chalamet.
What? He's supporting. he's like eighth supporting.
Listen here.
Okay. Kathy Bates and Richard Jewell, Laura Dern, Marriage Story, okay. Scarlett Johansson and Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh and Little Women, and Margot Robbie and Bombshell. I will preface in saying I have not seen Bombshell.
I haven't seen Bombshell or Richard Jewell.
Oh, I haven't seen that either. So fuck those two, woman.
Yeah, just sorry, kidding. Margot.
Who you got between Laura, Scarlett, and Florence?
Scarlett.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's Jojo. That's not Marriage Story.
She was great in Jojo, too.
Okay. I'm going to go Florence.
Okay.
I think that
don't
Florence.
Don't you try to steal her from me.
I'm going to. First of all, for anyone listening who doesn't know, Chris and I are. Brigapod is a huge supporter of Florence Pugh.
Florence, if you're watching, dump Zach Braff and date me.
Who's she dating?
Zach Braff.
Well, at least now I know she's into small men. I got a. All right. Well, we're on our way.
Technical issues.
We're on
still
our way. To Kevin's Island.
Yeah, so cinematography.
So, no, actress in supporting role.
Actress in supporting role, yeah.
I went to Florence Pugh. I'm going to repeat it in case I didn't.
Yeah.
Florence Pugh, because of her ability to play the different ages. She was really did a really great job of being a young woman, a girl.
A little woman.
Yeah, a little woman. Wow. Oh, I get it now. moving on.
Yeah.
Actor in a supporting role.
Actor, supporting
Tom
role.
Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes, Al Pacino, The Irishman, Joe Pesci, The Irishman, and Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
This one was hard for me.
This is a difficult one. I'm curious to see who you picked.
As much as I don't want to do it, of The Irishman that I've forced myself to watch, which is about an hour and a half of it, I gotta give it to Pacino.
Pacino.
Yeah.
He was good in that.
Yeah.
He was good. He's always good.
That movie, like...
Did you watch the whole thing?
No, I turned it off after an hour and a half. Because it's just Martin Scorsese going like, "Oh, Italians, oh!"
Yeah.
Yeah.
That film felt very unnecessary to
and
me. Everyone loves it, though. I don't understand.
And the technical achievements... I love the ability that we can do that now, of, you know, doing that very cool technology where they swap faces with themselves and everything. I looked at all the technology behind it. I know how they did it and how they actually like did it. So in Scorsese's way, still don't like it.
It was terrible.
I don't like it.
The technology ruined the film for me. I might have even liked it if it wasn't for the technology. That's how much it threw me off. Am I watching a Scorsese film or am I watching a CGI fucking?
Yeah,
it's like somewhere in between, and they're old.
Yeah,
they're so old.
Yeah,
they're like gonna die tomorrow. That's how old they are.
The end scene when they're, you know, in prison, that's them. That's not, they didn't put any prosthetics. That's just what they look like.
And they're really, really old.
Yes.
And so, which is fine, but, you know, just the technology doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It's cool. Do you know how they did it?
No.
So instead of doing like that facial capture they normally do where they put this rig on your face, Scorsese went like, I don't want any of that. I don't want any dots or anything like that. I just want to have them be on set and I want you to be able to do that. And they're like, okay. So what they did is they filmed it with three cameras for reference and then they shot with infrared to make it flat lighting so you can see all the contours of their face regardless of the lighting conditions you wanted. And then they took reference photos. So it's like, okay, so Pacino's supposed to be in his 30s here. And they just pulled up everything from his 30s that he ever did and did a deep fake on it.
Wow.
So the lighting conditions, which way he's looking, they deep faked it first for reference and then they built CG faces.
Wow.
So it's cool, but it was so fucking distracting.
I'll tell you one thing, Scorsese. I understand why you made that decision, and I can almost guarantee you that De Niro had something to do with that.
Yeah,
he's like, listen, man, we got to find a way around this. I'm not gonna fucking act with these fucking things on my head. But I'll tell you right now, I bet you that's why it didn't work, because they tried to forego the dots and whatever else to make it.
Marty, I don't like these dots.
Yeah. You know, I don't.
Yours is a ton better.
I don't know. I don't want to do it that way.
I don't want to do it. Yeah. That way. Wait. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. We can do that for you. Yeah. That's my Scorsese.
Scorsese is more like a.
Oh, hold on.
No. The thing is when we got to set, it was. All right. Those are terrible impressions of Scorsese. So who do you got, actor? Oh, you got Pacino. All right. I went Tom Hanks.
Really.
That movie, I believe, is one of the more underrated ones this year.
Mm.
I believe it made number 5 in my top 10. I will say that I am a sucker for
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
me too.
That documentary that came out a few years ago, it blew my mind.
I watched that on a plane.
Before I saw that documentary, I didn't really know
mm-hmm.
anything about him. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. And to me, it's so important to have somebody in a society who is that selfless on a public scale.
I agree.
And we don't have that.
No.
And even when we do have it as a people,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's recognized nor celebrated enough.
I think I disagree slightly with that statement. I think that there's just not enough of those people, because like the people who front like that aren't usually like that.
They're not authentic.
They're not authentic about it.
Yeah, there's a greed aspect usually. Yeah. Yeah.
Or
and he seems to have been, he's a real Jesus Christ archetype.
He really
you
is.
You know, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks, like that movie, that's the thing about doing this kind of a movie, mm-hmm. which by the way, I thought it was genius. The way they did it, how they didn't make him the main character, but rather the journalists who needed someone like that in his life
mm-hmm.
to turn him from this resentful, angry man who never forgave his absent father
mm-hmm.
into somebody who was able to finally let go of all that trauma. And they did it from the point of view of this journalist who is known for writing negative pieces on people because he finds like what their bullshit is, but he's not able to find it with Mr. Rogers mm-hmm. and Mr. Rogers essentially becomes his therapist and fucking, did you see the film?
No.
Yeah. Watch it. Really well done. And what I was going to say was that movie does not work if you don't get Mr. Rogers down perfectly. And Tom Hanks fucking nails it.
Yeah.
Nails it. Like, unbelievable. I mean,
I don't know who else you'd cast in that.
Yeah, it's true. It's, yeah, like, it's made for him. That guy can do anything.
Yeah.
Did you see his Emmys speech? Golden Globe speech? Whatever the fuck that...
No, the only thing I saw from that was his reaction to Ricky Gervais.
Right. Yeah, I'm conflicted because I think that his reactions to Ricky Gervais makes me think that he's a fucking square. And
Excuse me, Tom Hanks a square?
Right, he is. Yeah. But then he goes up and does that fucking speech, man. Like,
what did he say in the speech?
I don't know. They let him talk for like a solid 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I guess so. But he's just so... He has a cold, first of all.
Mm.
So he's under the weather. But he's still so cool and smooth and no fear whatsoever in his eyes. And he's just... He just commands the room so elegantly. And it was a good speech. You know?
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Best actress. Best actress.
Best actress?
Yeah. Cynthia...
Erivo.
From Harriet, which I did not see.
I didn't either.
Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story. Mm. Saoirse Ronan, Little Woman. Charlize Theron in Bombshell. And Renee Zellweger in Jodé. You can lead this one off.
Yeah, I picked... actually, it's kind of a toss-up between Saoirse and Scarlett.
Okay.
Yeah. I love Scarlett's performance, but like I feel like it's so personal to me. I didn't really give any of the other. I mean, I didn't see.
Okay,
I only saw two of them. So I didn't see Bombshell, so, Judy, or Harriet.
I didn't think that Saoirse's performance was Oscar worthy.
But it's muted to the point where it's like,
I think she did great. She fulfilled that role as best as someone can. But as far as moving me goes. I don't know. I felt like Florence was better in that movie than she was. I go Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story.
I'll concede on that, yeah.
But I'm a little pissed
on
this one. Do you think you know why I'm pissed, Chris? Why do you think I'm pissed?
You're pissed that Florence didn't get nominated for Midsommar.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That her performance in Midsommar should just win the award of the night. Like, that's it. Like, she's the best. Like, get rid of the gender for this year and let's just do one best actor, and it would be Florence Pugh in Midsommar.
That's okay. I will.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, there's
you're putting Joaquin
and okay, her well, in the same category. I would say I would say that her performance is just as good, if not better, than Joaquin's. I think that's how good she was in that film. The fact that A24 is snubbed as much as they are this year is absolute fucking bollocks. And why would she be nominated? Why would she be nominated for Best Supporting Actress in Little Woman, where it's like, yeah, you know, she's playing a little young girl, and it's like, okay, pretty straightforward stuff, but she's not nominated for a film that is as fucking tragic and dark and twisted and roller coaster, where her whole family dies in one fellow swoop, and she's carrying the weight of that throughout the whole film.
That cry that she gives out.
That fucking wailing.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. And then, so you got The Misery of Losing Your Whole Family. You got Mushroom Trip. Yep. How good was she on that?
She was great.
You got Pagan Rituals. You got I mean, like, there's so much to work with there as an actor.
In the bed chamber thing when they all cry. And she's like, and you feel her reacting and then accepting it.
Yes.
Like, whoa.
It's so layered and nuanced. Yeah. And I think that's one of the best performances by an actor, period, in the past 10 years.
Ugh.
And it's a crying shame that she's not nominated for that.
How about this sequel to Joker? Florence Pugh is his love interest.
I would love that.
And she is Harley Quinn.
Well, you can't do that.
I 100% you can.
Margot Robbie is
No.
Those films don't interest me at all, by the way.
So, okay,
have you seen? I haven't seen them, but
the Suicide Squad.
Is that the only Harley Quinn movie?
Currently, yeah. But and then Birds of Prey is coming out.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
So if you take Todd Phillips' Joker verse, or whatever the fuck they're going to call it, and you make her a serious portrayal of, you know, the Harley Quinn story. She's his therapist when he's in Arkham, and then he warps her mind into thinking that they love each other.
See, if they just make that film with Joaquin and
Florence Pugh,
you gotta have Margot.
I don't want Margot.
Yeah, but they're not gonna switch it that soon.
That's true. But she plays
Florence Pugh would be fucking amazing.
But she plays the cartoony version for what's his fuck, the current Joker, not Joaquin.
Jared Leto.
Yeah, for that guy, makes sense.
I don't even consider that whole DC part. I haven't seen Suicide Squad. I haven't seen that Joker. I haven't seen the Ben Affleck Batmans. I haven't seen the Harley Quinns.
Yeah.
None of that shit is real to me.
Which is why Florence can come in as Harley Quinn.
You know what? I would love that.
Yeah, it would be great.
Imagine Joaquin and Florence.
Just in a room?
Just in a room. The whole movie, just like Marriage Story, just like one room.
Yeah. It's over multiple
and
sessions.
It's just like multiple sessions.
Have you seen Mindhunter?
Yeah.
It's like that. Mm-hmm. They go to visit. Yeah, and it's from her perspective.
Oh, the scene with
Manson?
Manson is great.
Yes.
We're short on time, so let's keep it going. We are at Best Actor.
Oof.
Antonio Banderas, Pain and Glory. Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yep.
Adam Driver, Marriage Story. Joaquin Phoenix, Joker. Jonathan Pryce, The Two Popes.
I mean, this isn't even a question.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that Pain and Glory was a very good film, and Antonio Banderas is incredible in it.
Is that the one where he's Picasso?
No, he plays a director whose body is failing him, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of towards the end of his career, and his body's like broke. It's like his back's fucked up, and he's got all these issues, and he turns to heroin. But Antonio Banderas, like, I forgot about him, and after seeing this, I was like, wow, this dude's a straight fucking shooter from the hip. Like, he's really good. And I would, you can't top Joaquin in this category, but he's a close second, I would say.
I'm interested in seeing what Adam Driver does next. I think Marriage Story, coming off of Star Wars, great choice. It was a great kind of, you know.
Works a lot. He was in that movie, The Report, which I haven't seen either.
Yeah, haven't seen it either. But,
yeah, people are really starting to like him. I've gotten many people reach out about Marriage Story saying to watch it because they think I would like Adam Driver in it. And I did.
Yeah.
I have never been fully sold on him, but I will say that he does a great job in this film, in Marriage Story.
The only thing I didn't like about his performance, and this is not, I don't think it's his problem, but you could tell that he didn't necessarily believe the affair thing.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
He didn't believe the affair thing.
He didn't believe. So the character, I can't remember his name in the movie. The Adam Driver's character has an affair with his whatever costume designer or whatever that he's working with. And they bring it up. It's like, you cheated. This is why I'm leaving you. And he kind of just brushes it off.
Well, I don't think that's a decision that him as an actor makes. I think that's more like part of the script. But yeah, I think they should have explored that or explained that a little bit more, because it's silly that she even uses that against him, because that happened after she had decided to leave him, correct?
No. So in the context of the story, they were...
Oh, she wasn't fucking him for a year.
Yes, and then And then she...
So it was a slow decline.
Correct. Yeah. And then she went through his emails, and then because she went through his emails and then found the correspondence... That's when it started.
Right.
She's like, oh, okay, here we go. We're getting divorced.
This shit's making my head feel weird all of a sudden.
Like,
not in a bad way.
Like, pressure-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I gotta chill out.
Go like this. Weird, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I can feel something.
Yeah.
I really wanted to talk about UFC, so let's finish this off.
We have 15 minutes.
Yeah. And I have to pee, too. So, best film of 2019. We got...
Best Picture.
That's right. Best Picture. We got Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Woman, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. And I know who you're going to pick, and you know who I'm going to pick.
Yours, so, Joker, I'm Parasite.
That's right. Yep. Let me just say right away. If you're going to have Ford versus Ferrari, which I really liked, Jojo Rabbit, which I thought was okay,
I
1917, which is not good in my opinion.
Okay.
If you're going to have these three movies, Little Woman is not a best picture.
No.
It's a good movie. No. Great it is movie. Not a best picture.
Nope.
There's four films, right, in my opinion, Irishman shouldn't even be nominated. So there's four or five films right there that, in my humble opinion, which is not sounding very humble right now, don't even deserve to be nominated.
Yeah.
So how the fuck? Oh, by the way, best actor snub for nominee, Adam Sandler should have been a nominee in that for Uncut Gems.
Didn't have time to watch it.
Okay. Where's my notes here? Okay. How the fuck are you not going to have The Lighthouse, Honey Boy, and Midsommar as at least nominees in that category? At least nominees.
So I here's the thing about Midsommar. I don't think anybody watched it. I don't think anybody did either. Like the viewing population scared of it. Yeah, and then the point you were trying to make of like who's voting for these, the Academy of Motion Picture, definitely they did not watch it.
Well, it seems to me that it's just it's hard if you're an indie production company.
Yeah,
it's hard to get your movies noticed on this scale. Because
to a certain
Midsommar was A24, The Lighthouse was A24,
Uncut Gems
is A24, and Honey Boy
was
might be A24 as well. I don't know.
But
clearly, there's some hate for Shia, huh? Because neither Honey Boy nor Peanut Butter Falcon got anything, and those are both great movies, especially Honey Boy. There must be a new production company because he worked with a first-time director as well.
It was distributed by Amazon.
Okay.
I don't know the production company.
Well, that makes no sense that Honey Boy was not nominated for anything and that Shia wasn't nominated for anything. Like, what the fuck's going on?
He had this very strong year, and that's true. I don't know
but
why.
But what is going on there? Like, if you ever need more proof that politics runs the fucking game.
I mean...
Like, clearly there's some people who don't like him.
I mean, it's not even this year. I mean, you look at La La Land getting anything.
Yeah,
that movie didn't deserve
anything.
I liked it. It was cool.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't deserve much, but it was great. It was a good film. I enjoyed it as well.
Why Midsommar getting nothing?
Midsommar is the closest thing that we've had in a long time to one of these sort of classic films, like a Ingmar Bergman's film or like a Tarkovsky film
or like Suspiria,
the original or something like that, like or a Polanski type film, like one of these real slow burns where you are taken for a fucking ride. But unlike those old films, you don't really need patience for this film. You're like
it keeps you
in the whole time. Mm-hmm. You might want to walk out of the theater. You know, you might get that urge, which I did when I saw Hereditary. Like, but that's powerful that he has the capability of through film to do that to you.
Yeah, art should move you, and like, I feel like a lot of these films, like, they're fun, they're great. They didn't move me.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
So Joker, I picked because of all the films nominated. I think it's the best, and I'll explain why. I was out to dinner the other night with someone, and. She didn't like Joker.
Okay. Did she say why?
By the way, we saw Cats, and I wish we had time to talk about that.
We can talk about it offline.
It's hilarious.
Is it good bad or bad bad?
It's the worst movie ever made.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but it's bizarre, and it's bad.
It's a fucking movie about cats.
It's bad like The Room is bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
I want to watch it now.
So it's it may be because we were too high, but I swear to God, the last scene of the movie, her and I looked at each other and we were like, so what's this about? Not only that, but Jellicle we couldn't cats. Figure out who the main character was. Like there was this girl cat, but it was not evident whatsoever
main character.
What the fuck she was doing. This is what I took away from the film Cats. Mm-hmm. Ready?
Okay.
Young cat being indoctrinated into a cult of rapists. I swear to God, that's how the whole fucking film felt.
I just peaked really bad on the microphone, but
that's exactly. It's so rapey, bro.
It's really
from
rapey?
The first scene. Everything's like, we're gonna get you and put you in the
bank of dime. That's like exactly the song too.
we're gonna get you.
Well, you know, all cat mating is rape.
Oh, because they got the fucking corkscrew dick.
No, it's barbed. That's you're thinking of ducks.
Oh, ducks.
You're thinking of ducks.
What fucking who? What architect is making all these weird dicks?
His name is God. yeah, you have 8 minutes.
If you want to have a good laugh, get really high and go see Cats. It's so fucking strange. Okay, I need to do this.
One more time.
At dinner.
Go.
Yes. She's talking to me about how she doesn't like Joker and how she doesn't like...
I don't like Joker.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't really like it.
So, that's not how she talks.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so
you want to go see Cat?
Her thing was she doesn't like how everyone who likes it, all they can say is like, oh, it's a really good film about mental illness. And I was like, okay... They're not wrong.
No.
But they're just not articulating themselves properly.
Yes.
What the film is and the value of it is that it's a film about how we as a people are mm-hmm. not taking care of our own people. We are not properly attending to the sick. Yes. And this film is a... What's the word?
Character study?
Transportation. This word is a... This film is a...
Trans something?
This film... This is a...
It's a journey?
Fuck. This film is a film.
This is a film.
No, it's I really want that word. It's it's like... Come into my basket. Jellicle cats. That's, that is a part.
Yes, that's one of the songs.
Okay, it's a vehicle.
God, vehicle.
Jesus Christ. Wow. It's a vehicle.
Okay.
Of empathy.
Yes.
So that we might understand what the genetic makeup might look like
mm-hmm.
that constitutes an individual who's capable of committing such acts of horrendous hate and murder. And the thing is that those are people. They used to be babies, innocent little babies. And because of the cards they were dealt or the nurturing that was handed to them of no fault of their own, and maybe some genetic wiring from an ancestry that is riddled with drug use or whatever.
Well, they go into that too, because the entire time he thinks that, you know, his dad left him, blah, 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 blah. And he thinks that all of his problems, in the movie, he transitions from like, you know, my dad left us, it's his fault, to it's the way my mom raised me. Or the way that my mom is, because she has problems, he also has problems. Then you find out that he was adopted. Then he blames Bruce Wayne. So it's a perfect character study on nurture versus nature.
Yes,
as well.
Yes, and how and even with as shitty as his life is and the condition he has, the laughing condition, which is like something akin to those people who have those orgasm conditions where they orgasm constantly.
Yeah,
like that sounds like hell, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's got something like that.
Yeah.
So his life's already hell, but he's still complying as a citizen. He's doing his best. It's not until the one person that he can count on who he knows loves him, his mother, it's not until that he finds out that even she lied to him, potentially, depending on how you interpret the film, that he loses it.
Mm.
But the idea is like, so would you if you were in that position. Anyone would.
Yeah.
And it's an ugly head to look at, but that's why films like this are so important. When a film has the capacity to speak on a current real issue in society, which mm-hmm. right now is all these school shootings and all these mass murders.
Yeah.
It's not a fun film to look at, but it's an important one and a necessary one, and it's a vehicle for empathy so that we might understand why these people are doing what they do so that we might one day help them and prevent these things from happening. Joaquin Phoenix, we'll finish with this, but Joaquin Phoenix had saw his 60 Minutes interview, which was fascinating. I love that guy. He said that he sees the film as a Rorschach test.
Yes.
You're going to either react this way or that way, and that's going to say a lot about who you are.
That's a great answer to that question. Yes,
and I agree, and I said this to this person I was with at dinner, and they didn't take kindly to it.
It's just about mental
health.
That's
not her. That's not her. She's,
oh, my God.
No, don't, she's going to do this.
I don't know who this person is. That's fine.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, I do know who this person is.
Yes.
She does not sound like that.
Damn, I really wanted to talk about the fights, but we're out of time.
We are out of time.
We're about to go watch Conor McGregor versus Donald Cowboy Cerrone, and I have...
We can always do a Debriga Pod after dark.
Tonight?
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. We'll do a post-UFC show. This fight is huge. I have so much to say about it, but I will save it for tonight after hours.
For Debriga Pod.
After dark. Yes.
Okay, one more time. Debriga Pod.
After dark. We should actually do this.
Yeah, like, I'm 100% doing this.
Okay, good.
Yeah, let's do it. And that's the episode 4 of Debriga Pod. See you guys later.
Bye.